no one's perfect, even if we secretly believe they are. So if you've been struggling and failing to keep it all together, you're in good company. Women today are pushing harder than ever to do it all and break through their personal limits. But what if we're pushing in the wrong direction? Join a growing movement of women exploring their boundaries as opportunities. Be empowered by their experiences to create a best life that reflects your expectations and no one else's. If you're ready for a different kind of podcast, then you've arrived. Welcome to Woman of Valor. If you're listening to this episode close to its release date, you'll know that right now social media is a little bit of a landmine, especially for people who choose to create content and share that content on social media platforms. I know that there were content creators that were criticized for the content they put out or didn't put out. And a few of my friends in particular got heat for not sharing certain things on their platform. And I think that this episode is a really good way to understand why some people may not share their feelings or their thoughts on different things on social media, and to be more aware and more understanding and more compassionate to that. I think that that'll just create a respectful, beautiful culture online. This week, I have the honor and pleasure of sharing an episode that I recorded with Penina Seabag, also known as Hair by Pen on Instagram. Penina is just an individual that when you see her, you're happy. It brings you to a happy place. And most of you probably don't know Penina's story, mostly because she's chosen not to share it in public until today. So I'm very thankful for Penina that she felt comfortable sharing her story on my platform. And I hope that a lesson you can take from here, from Penina and from who she is that things happen, pain happens, circumstances happen, but those circumstances don't have to define who you are. Hi, Penina. Thank you so much for joining us. Please tell us a little bit about yourself and one thing that you love about yourself.
Hi, thanks for having me, Bariana.
Ugh, sorry. Pen.
I had to.
Okay, fine.
We just discussed this, but my name is Penina Seabag. I am Hair by Pen on Instagram. Most people call me Penina in my real life, but on Instagram, everyone just refers to me as Pen. I am a wedding and event hairstylist for the last 5 years. I am 25. It was just my birthday. I live in Jersey.
Birthday.
Thank you. I live in Jersey. I have a two-year-old daughter. Her name is Basia. And one thing that I love about myself is my ability to use humor to get through anything.
So I noticed that from your account. And when we were discussing potentially doing a podcast episode together, I said, you know, like people have been mentioning that I should have Hair by Pen, not Penina Seabag. Nobody said that. They said, I think you should have Hair by Pen come on your podcast. And I was just like, okay. So when we were discussing picking a topic, I'm like, listen, Penina, like, I just know that you do funny, like TikTok videos on your Instagram. That's all I know about you. So like, let's figure out something that we can discuss that people can learn from. And I think you told me a little bit about your story and I was surprised because, you know, I recently got to know you a little bit and I wouldn't have known what I now know about you. And I think that the listeners on this podcast can greatly benefit from seeing somebody like you and hearing your story. So let's hear a little bit. What you got?
So yeah, it's actually interesting. A lot of people, I've been doing a couple of like Q&As lately just to like pass time and quarantine and everything. So at one point there was just like a million questions about, are you married? Where is your husband? Why don't you ever show your husband? Where is he? How old are you? How old is your husband? And just like a lot of questions like that. And I realized that because I don't, I guess I don't really like to put it on social media. I just feel like it's not my thing. It's not what I like to focus on. So people don't know. They just don't know. And it's not their fault. And sometimes people, I'll just privately DM them. I'll be like, hey, I noticed you asked this question like 6 times. And here's the answer. Because I don't always like answering publicly. But then the last 2 times I did, I put up like the answer, which is that he passed away 3 years ago. And people were just like, what? Like they literally, like, they're like, did we read this right? Are you like, where are you from? How do we not know this about you? You've been on Instagram for so long. We don't know that about you.
Right. You try to keep that off the content. And I do think that there's something very beautiful about that and keeping your content light and creative and beautiful. And I think people just make assumptions based on what we show or what we don't show. And yeah. I think there is also a pressure. There is a pressure to like every once in a while for somebody who's a female who is married to post something about their spouse or have their spouse make an appearance because people are making assumptions and also do request to see more of your life. And I think there's like an assumption of like, oh, if you don't see them, then maybe like their relationship's not great or maybe they're whatever. But also, I don't know. I feel like there should be some sort of like, listen, there's a right to my privacy, but I think it is powerful. Like the fact that so many people were surprised that you, you know, became literally like a young widow.
Yeah.
And you are who you are today. I won't say in spite and I won't say because, but you are the person today and you went through something as painful. As that. And like you said, you have a daughter as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'll just jump into the story in short version, just so everyone understands what we're talking about. I'm 25 now, but when I was 22 in June of 2017, it's so long ago, I'm almost forgetting. Wow. I was 7 weeks pregnant with my daughter. I had just found out that I was pregnant. I had just gone for my first sonogram, and about a week later, I was at work. My husband, Mayor, he had driven me back to work that night because I was doing a touch-up at a wedding, and he was outside in the car, and someone found him. He was unresponsive, and he passed away within a couple of minutes. So, it obviously, at the time, it had spread. The story had spread really far. A lot of people found out very quickly, and suddenly I had like a lot of followers on Instagram. But obviously I didn't check that until much later. So yeah, I was 22, pregnant. My husband passed away. I moved back with my parents. I kind of took a hiatus from work for about, I want to say 4 months. So I spent basically the entire summer, all the way through the I'm Tovim, just like with my family. And I was not on social media. I think maybe I posted one picture. And it was for Simchas Meir, which is the organization in my husband's name. And
is that the coalition of like, artists or people who service Simchas?
So no, it's two separate things. There's Pen Pals, which is now Or Malka, which is free hair and makeup services for girls who can't afford it, who are getting married. And then there's Simchas Meir, which was started by his friends and Yeshiva. And they have Chasen Kala packages. And they're actually amazing. It's literally like you get a gown, you get free wigs, the boys get outfitted A to Z. Just anything that a Chasen Kala needs, they can get through them in the New York area.
Wow.
So I had posted a picture with like a link for donation, and that was it. So I just basically took a long break from social media. I didn't like tell people that I was pregnant. People just found out because that's just how these things happen.
Right.
Eventually, I gave birth to my daughter in January, January 28th. And she was born, and I posted a picture when she was born about a week later, just like let everyone know I had a girl. And yeah, so that's the backstory, I guess, of me. And then once I got back to work full time, I started posting more on Instagram, and then Instagram stories became a thing, and my account kept growing and growing and growing, but I wasn't really sharing
this part of you.
This part because I love the beauty industry. I do. Like, I love hair and makeup. I love aesthetically pleasing things. I love it all. So I was very focused on that. And right. I liked to be focused on it. And it gave me something to put all my energy into. And it grew in a way that ended up benefiting me till today. And it will continue to grow. So I never really wanted to mix it up with my private life as much.
And I don't think you have to. I think there is an expectation, because there are some people like myself who do choose to share certain personal things on social media, that sometimes people have an expectation of others to do that. It's like, let me see your life. Let me see your house. Let me see your children. Let me see your this. It's like, we're choosing which window to let you into.
Yeah.
We're going to let you into this window, but I'm not letting you come through this door. We're giving you limits. And I think that's also something for people to realize, that the content that a content creator is letting you in on, that's a choice that they are making. And you have to respect the boundaries of them when they choose not to share things.
Yeah.
And I respect the fact that you chose not to.
Like, we want to see your daughter. We want to see your daughter. And it was like an overwhelming amount of people who were like, when are you going to post her? We want to see her. And this is when she was still a baby. So
now she's like a full-fledged little person.
Yeah, now she's a little person. And slowly I started showing her more. And I mostly show her and I, because that's really what goes on in a day-to-day. But I try and keep it like pretty light and fluffy. And I don't really get too much into like where we live, who we live with, what our status is, you know, like,
right.
It's just like, oh, here's a cute outfit. And like, this
she
is
always looks cute, today. By the way. So point. you get pretty points.
Thank you. We try hard to keep it together. So yeah. And I think there definitely is a pressure out there for people to like share tons and start like venting about things in their life, et cetera. But I really do believe that Instagram is your escape.
Right.
And I know that people are like, let's be real. And that's my worst word. I hate when people say that. Like, every time someone on Instagram says that, I'm like, oh my God, you're like the least real right now. You're the least real.
Because you're choosing the 15, 20, 30, 40, 60 seconds.
That you were angry and you decided to vent. But then like, it just makes it sound overwhelming.
Yeah.
And that, like, everything has to be overwhelming and everything has to be X, Y, and Z. I feel like social media is pretty pictures and like it's fun to look at, but then it's okay to like shut the app and live your real life.
I love that. And I really respect that you did that. And it shows, because so many people don't know your life story. And also, I mean this like, just in like an observatory way, like you can't tell. You don't look like a widower.
Yeah, you don't. So I've gotten messages. I actually was looking through the screenshots of messages that I've received in the last, probably the last year. I should find one right now.
Yeah. No, because it's crazy. Like, you think in your head the picture of somebody like that is not somebody who's getting up on here showing their best face, having her beautiful little child looking amazing. Like, people had this expectation that like everything in your life was, you know, okay.
This is from December 27th. It was right before I ran the High Lifeline marathon. So I actually had posted on my High Lifeline page when I ran the marathon a little bit about my story.
Yeah.
Because I ran on Team Mayor. So we had Team Mayor. So everyone wanted to know what it was about. And my bio was about that, but I only posted the link onto my story. like a couple of times and I didn't really expand on it. And someone wrote, I just saw your post for High Lifeline Miami Run and I went to your link and I read your story. I just want to say that you're honestly so strong. I would never be able to tell that you lost your husband from your Instagram stories. I know you always can't always tell from Instagram, but I just wanted to share with you that you taught me a lesson that's so strong. You really don't know what's going on in another person's life, and just be kind to others because you never know when they need it most. I just wanted to share that with you. Thank you so much. You're amazing. And then we have more. I'll tell you another one that I got more recently. This is a direct message that I got after posting in short the story on my story one time when someone asked it in a Q&A, and I just said, yeah, I'm widowed. I'm 24. Yes, this is my daughter. I had her after he passed away. And someone responded, wow, I've been following you for a while and I've always wanted to tell you, I can tell that you've weathered some huge storms in your life, but we can't all see it. I guess we all have weathered in some ways, but you are so graceful and unapologetically yourself. And I love that. And as a follower, I appreciate that. Your daughter is blessed to have you as a mommy, role model, and best friend. I hope this wasn't too much and makes sense.
I love how people always, after they give a compliment, they're like nervous because like, I don't know you and I don't want you to think I'm a creepy person, but like, let me say something really nice.
It's nice. It's nice to read. It's like, it makes you feel like, yeah, maybe I am nailing it.
Well, I mean, all things considered, yeah. Right. But
all things considered, I think we held it together pretty well.
Yeah. Like people ask me now, they're like, how you doing? I'm like, I'm managing, all things considered. And they're like, that's a fantastic response. I'm like, Baruch Hashem, I'm doing okay, all things considered.
I think all therapists would agree with that.
Yeah, it's a very honest answer.
Yeah.
Because whatever we're facing, whatever we're dealing with, that needs to be taken into consideration. And compared to that, how are we doing?
Yeah.
People also assume that because you've gone through something that you like, were already this like incredible person. Like I have a friend, sometimes there is some sort of predictability in the story, but other times there's not. Like I have a friend who unfortunately I lost at the age, she was 25 and she lost her battle to a brain tumor. And the minute I knew she was sick, somebody called me and they were like, the tumor's back. And I spent an hour crying, saying Tehillim. And I looked at my husband and I was like, I'm just letting you know, like, she's not going to make it. Because this is the type of person that she was. Like, this, did I stop davening for her? No. Like, was I hoping that I was wrong? Yes. But deep in myself, like, some patterns are like, you know what? That, like, that makes sense. Like, unfortunately, for some people that are like insanely amazing, unique, strong individuals, and that you've seen it for like whatever. But I don't think that applies across the board. We definitely have our fair share of like surprises and things we didn't see coming. Not to say that I saw that she would lose her life coming. It was just a matter of her being so sick. It was like almost as though like things were so bad in the world. Like, I didn't see like Hashem like not bringing her back to him.
Yeah. I mean, listen, that's the thing that people tell you at Shivas, you know, I mean, especially young people, you know, you sit Shiva for 7 days. Right. And I mean, especially for me, it was a lot of post-trauma, literally. And I actually don't remember most of it. I don't. I do remember like what it felt like, but I don't remember who was there. I don't remember. I don't think I even talked much. I don't think I said anything as far as I know. And if I did, I was probably just like trying to get through the awkwardness of having, you know, thousands of people coming through and staring at you in horror.
Right.
And it was just like, wow, she's so strong.
Okay, so that drives me up a tree. And I'm
sure. And it was 7 days of that. Like 7 days of sitting there and people being like, is she pregnant? She must be so strong. And I remember at one point, like discussing it with my mom, and we were like, Shiva is such an interesting thing for young people. And I think nobody knows this because people don't think about, you know, like the emotions behind it. They just think like, oh, it's so good of me that I'm going to a Shiva and like, I'm going to say the pasuk and I'm going to speak to them and it's going to be amazing. And the truth is it's awkward.
It's incredibly awkward.
It's incredibly awkward. And I always say like the best thing you can do is just be quiet. I mean, I find for myself, there are people who just love to talk and they're talkers and they want to talk about it and they have to get it out.
Right.
But I was so like traumatized that I had nothing to say. I was like, who would have thought that 3 days ago, like 3 days ago, he was here and now you want me to tell you about his life? He was only 28. You know, like right. It wasn't like, oh, wow, and he had grandchildren and we had such a beautiful long life together. And, you know, it was hard.
How long were you guys married before that?
We were married in December and he passed away in June.
Oh, my God.
So it was pretty fast. And then July would have been 1 year since we had met. So wow. It was very quick. You know, life moves fast. You never, like we always say, like you always think it's never going to happen to you. You never think about these things. Young people never think about these things. I told my mom during Shiva, I was like, you know why all these girls are here? And some of them were genuine friends. Some of them weren't. Some of them were just acquaintances. Some of them were people I had met in passing on the street, literally.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know why they're all here? Because people are so shocked that they have to come and see for themselves and say to themselves, oh, it could only happen to her. So I'm coming. It makes them feel better in a way.
Right.
Like reverse psychology.
I'm safe.
They're like, I'm safe. I see that this happened to you, but it can't happen to me.
I remember when I was dating, I had a very serious conversation with a friend of mine who I ended up then setting up. And now she's married to her husband who I set her up with. You know, they just had their third kid, but we had a very serious conversation of like, you know, we very well may be the types of women who don't get married at an early stage or will have a very difficult time just because sometimes there are these patterns that we hear, you know, like it's the ones who are super accomplished or the ones who are very passionate about things and outgoing and super passionate about Judaism, but also outspoken that have a hard time. Just like it's the ones who are already super strong that end up, you know, suffering tremendous losses. Like that's not necessarily true.
Yeah. And it was a lot of that for a long time. People would meet me and they were just so shook. They were like, I don't know how you're still standing. Like you're so strong. And I remember just like standing there and being like, yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Like sure. I'm literally just reacting to my situation. Like,
right. I'm like, I'm reacting as much as possible. And maybe my initial reactions, I was in so much shock that it didn't look like much had happened to me. It just, that's why people were just so surprised. They were like, how are you not in bed? How are you not in bed? How are you not like, how are you getting up in the morning? And I was like, right, so I'm 22, I'm pregnant, so God is giving me a reason to live here.
Right.
And I didn't want to fall apart. I remember saying like to my family, like, don't let me become a mess. Don't let me do that. I was terrified.
Right.
I'm like, I know what could happen to people. I've seen people who, like, you know, before that I had heard stories, I met people who had gone through things and they were forever changed, and they did in a way. People do sometimes let these things rule the rest of their lives. They do.
Yeah.
And I very badly didn't want it to be everything. I was desperate to just become who I was supposed to become, not because my husband passed away suddenly.
No, not becoming a victim to your circumstances.
Yeah, I was very like anti-victim. And there is something to be said. I know like many therapists will tell you like, in a way you do need to become a victim a little bit in order to get through it. And I only learned that later on, that like, it's okay to feel it.
Right.
But I didn't want it to be everything. I didn't want that in 10 years from now, I can't get past it.
Right.
And not that you're ever past it, there's no such thing, but I didn't want it to be, oh, this is who I am, and this one life situation defined me, and this is what I'm growing off of forever.
Right. So you made the active choice of deciding not to determine your life based on circumstances.
Yeah, pretty much.
And it sounds like you've also done the work for that, not like a naturally like, oh, PSA, I'm not going to fall apart, because that's also not a healthy thing.
Yeah, I can definitely say, though, that in the beginning, I was very adamant about the not falling apart. And that was not healthy for a long time. And it takes a lot of work to figure out how much you're willing to fall apart. And just when you have my type of personality where you don't necessarily want to like intake all of that. And I think most people don't want to intake all that. It's really hard.
No, to be able to be that aware and self-aware is painful.
Yeah. And there are people out there who have had things happen to them of similar nature or different, people who have gotten sick and gotten through it, et cetera, you know, and I see that they're so eloquent and well written about it, and they're so expressive, and they fueled themselves on it.
Right.
And it's a very cool thing, but it was never me.
And it shouldn't have to be. And I love the fact that you were accepting of that. And it's like, I don't need to be the person that it's like, oh, she's the one who lost her husband.
Yeah.
No, she's the one who does the funny TikTok videos. It's literally how she's the one who does the funny TikTok videos and taught me how to set my wigs in a way that looks super cool. That's it.
Pretty much.
That's fantastic. And I think you're also bringing up a very important point of like, people aren't necessarily inherently strong. Yeah. Things happen and they have a choice.
It's not only a choice, it's also you're naturally going to react.
Right.
You're going to have your natural reaction first. And I would say most people will understand in those situations, and hopefully nobody listening to this will ever have to experience it. But
I mean,
there's a natural, I still want to live even though it's really, really bad.
Right.
Like I still want to like go to the grocery store and go pick up a coffee and like feel a sense of normalcy, even though this terrible, horrifying thing has happened.
I think we can apply it like to a lower degree to what's going on in the world today. Like you brought up going and getting a coffee. Like I spent 5 minutes discussing with the barista through drive-thru while he was preparing the drinks, like how thankful I was that there was that he was there servicing us, bringing us a sense of normalcy during a world like a global trauma.
Yeah.
And
it's finding ways to have peace, just like a normalcy that brings you peace.
Right. And I think you did have a choice whether to fall apart or stay in denial or face some hard stuff. And I think it's clear that you chose to face the hard things at your own pace, of course. And like what that pace was is, you know, up to you and up to whoever's dealing with whatever unique situation they're being dealt. But I think across the board, it's important to realize that like nobody expects catastrophe unless you're somebody who does, you know, when things are too good, they're nervous. That's a thing. But at the same time, no one really expects those things to happen.
And I think people expect that when a catastrophe does happen to somebody or to a family or something like that, God forbid, they expect that those people are suddenly the strong ones. And, you know, we should look to them. We should listen to every spiritual realization that they come to. And it's just, they're awe inspiring because this horrifying event has happened to them. And it just becomes almost like a craze when these things happen, especially in our community. I find like every single thing that happens to somebody or any situation that happens, it explodes. People are just like, well, what did they say? And what did they say about this? And are they saying like, God, I accept this and I'm good with it. And I understand that you did this. And people are like waiting for that to happen the second they hear something.
They end up becoming like a spiritual guru.
This is supposed to be the follow-up. You are now our spiritual guide.
Yeah.
Tell us. It's like, I remember saying to someone, I'm never going to go around speaking about this.
Right.
Never. Never. I'm not going to say, oh, I'm a better person because this happened to me. No, I'm going to be a better person if I put the work in like anybody else. You don't have to have a tragedy happen to you to be a better person.
Yeah. And there are things that people don't realize that are in their lives. That's like when people go and they work on things in therapy and they go or they do some self-discovery and realize that there were situations that may not have been as blatantly catastrophic, but definitely impacted them and did provide them with some sort of trauma. Trauma doesn't have to be something catastrophic, like, you know, objectively yeah. catastrophic.
Yeah.
It can be something that's been, you know, brewing for years and can feel the exact same way. And I don't think that we should also be like a comparing thing of like somebody, what's worse, somebody losing somebody or having someone being sick? Like that's a sick, horrible, horrible game for anybody to play. And yeah. I think that you're a fantastic example of somebody just doing their best.
That's literally all I wanted. I was like, I just want to be normal. And I know that there's no such thing as normal and everybody has their own normal, but I wanted to feel like everyone else my age in my new normal. I just kept
I
like-
I think you do a great job.
I was like afraid of not relating to people. I was afraid of just like falling out of like a community and normalcy. Like I was
becoming a social pariah because you've had something that was out of your control happen to you.
Right.
Now you're like this out of the normal supernatural human being that's like walking on water because, you know, something, everybody found out what that baggage was.
Yeah. And you know, also like, it was like, let's say sometimes when I would mention it in passing and I would get messages like, wow, you know, like, how did you deal with grief? And what was your way through? And, you know, questions like that. And I was like, I am not prepared to answer this for anybody. There's no real answer. Like, I can tell you, like, I read this book and it, I felt it. And you might read that book and you're going to be like, this is stupid.
Right.
And like, I think only looking back now, like approaching 3 years, I finally feel a little bit able to say like, this is what I went through and this is where I am right now. But I think like in 5 years from now, I'm going to look back and say, wow, that was such a long road, but like, I feel so good about myself.
Right. But you chose that path for yourself. You yeah. chose the path to be on a process of self-development, transcending your circumstances. And I think that,
I think it's very easy to let circumstances cripple you. Don't get me wrong. Like, I get that this is a hard decision to make for people. I get it. Like there are people who are just like this and this happened to me and I can't do it. And I'm like, right. I also felt like, oh my God, the world is ending. I did. I felt like that. And then I was like, but I look around and like, I saw so much of that beforehand, just hearing about other people in life. And I was like, I can't do it. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do it to myself. I don't want to do it to my daughter. I don't want to do it to my future family. I just want to be the best version of myself, the best version of a mother I can be, the best version of a businesswoman that I can be. I don't want to cripple to everything. And it was hard. It was not easy. It was really hard. But I think sure. after working hard on myself, and spending a lot of time just like going through everything, and like you're never going to be finished going through it, but I think you just get to a point where it's not the forefront of your mind every morning, and that's like a huge thing. You don't have to wake up every single day and say, wow, another day post this.
Yeah.
And I think that was like the day that I realized like, whoa, like time is moving and I'm moving and everything is moving forward and I don't feel stuck in time anymore. I feel like I'm moving with it. And that it was like, that's a big feeling for people who are experiencing grief. They feel like they're stuck and everybody else around them is just moving. people are having babies, getting married, moving into homes, and their lives are going further and further, and you just feel like, oh my God, I got sucked and drowned, and I can't get out. But no, I feel like because I made the decisions that I made, I feel like I'm moving with them, even if it's not what I envisioned for myself at all. I'm still moving. So, right.
And it's not defined by, you know, I don't think it's defined by inner strength, because I think that inner strength is something you've developed.
Yeah, I think it came later.
Yeah, I don't think it's like, oh, naturally, because you were somebody who like could have handled this, that. It's like, you know, when everyone goes like, you know, God won't give you a test you can't handle.
Yes.
I'm not a fan of that at all.
I'm not either.
Because also sometimes he gives you things you can't handle, and then you learn, and then you work on it, and then maybe later you can handle it.
I think it's not even about him giving you something you can handle. I think when he does give you something, you are expected to handle it as best as possible. And it's not that you were able to handle it before.
Right.
And everybody's going to have it in some way or another, at some point or another. You might be 65, you might be 25. You're not getting away from life.
Life happens. And
life happens.
We have to make, the only control we really have, this is somebody who experiences like severe anxiety and like fear of losing control. But the fact is, we only have control over how we react to our circumstances.
Exactly.
As much as my brain would like to tell me otherwise, that's something I try to remind myself during those times where it is stressful. Like you can't blame yourself for, you know, something that was out of your control. But at the same time, it is within your control to make choices based on, you know, what has happened.
Right after I had my daughter, I went through a period of severe anxiety. So badly so that it was just, I was physically ill from it. It was kind of like playing catch up with my body and emotions, because I had just gone through, you know, post-mare passing away. I was just trying to get to the end of my pregnancy. I was holding my breath, and then it was like I exhaled and I had to deal with it all, and it was hard, but the anxiety, the need for control was real at the time, no matter what it was. It was like everything. So
do you think that's something you've, you know,
worked on? I definitely feel less anxious now. Like in my daily life, I'm definitely less anxious. I think there will always be like that little underlying question mark. Naturally, I'm just a little bit of a worrier, but I try so hard to just let things happen.
Right.
Just let it go. It's really hard. It's a hard skill. It's like active work. It is. It's active work of talking to yourself and, you know, making checks with yourself. But I knew long term, I don't want to live with like this fear of something suddenly happening to me out of the blue, or happening to my daughter, or happening to my family, God forbid. So that was also a big part of the work after all that.
I can somewhat relate to that type of work needing to be done, but the fact that you did do it, and you know, you're also responsible for a little person. So that was also something.
It's a big pressure.
Yeah. Because you realize, you know, your behavior is being watched by a very impressionable.
It will also affect how kids adjust as they grow up. And just, they are mirroring you. They really are. I see it so often.
Yeah. She's definitely a little you. I saw that picture.
Oh, yeah. No. And she's crazy. She's nuts. In the best way. She's funny.
So you would say that she was also part of the motivation.
She's definitely a big part of the motivation. Like probably like 85%, you know. It was definitely not the way I envisioned having my first child, but we did it. And thinking back to when I like actually had her was like surreal every time I think about it. I'm like, I can't believe I made it from June to January. That time period felt like years. It was so long. I'm just like thinking about it now, actually.
I had a very long period of a question mark.
Yeah. It was like I was neither here nor there. I didn't, it was almost like there was just no stopping it. Like life was just happening at me. And at that time, I did feel frozen in time for that short period of time, for those couple of months. I felt frozen. I was like, I just have to get to the end of this. I just have to get to the end of this. And when I did have her, I was like, yeah, okay, so we're here now. And now what am I going to do with myself?
Wow.
Like now you have to deal with you because you're not pregnant. You don't have any excuses anymore. We have to get it together. So like I spent time recovering and then I realized I needed to get my life together. I needed to go back to work. I needed to get my emotions in check. I needed to start going to therapy, you know?
Yep.
For real.
Yeah. Like the real therapy, not like.
Yeah. Not like, oh, like you get sent for like a 1 hour session and like never go back.
Yeah. Yeah. You so. Listen to my problems. Don't say anything. I'm just going to complain. And then yeah. I'll see you next week.
Exactly.
But I admire your like determination to do that and the fact that you've chosen to not let something this is monumental, like this is a monumental life change, but you've chosen to take that and work on yourself and discover and heal rather than let that be like a festering wound for so long and for the rest of your life. And the fact that you're still, you know, young, and I'm young, you're young, I'm not saying that in like a, you know, derogatory term, yeah. But like being able to be a normal quote unquote 20 somethinger and have people have no idea while not pretending.
Yeah. No, like we're not hiding. It's just, I'm just normal. Just a regular person, but these are my circumstances that I came from. That's it. And it's not everything.
It's very refreshing to hear that from somebody instead of like, this is me, this was my circumstances, and then I became this, and then I like use those circumstances as like a platform to then share things and then
I fueled my venting and then I posted long, you know, vents about my life based on this.
Just you didn't let it define you.
Yeah, that was literally like my one line through therapy.
I'm not saying that anybody else who does share like that is letting it define them, but it was a choice that you made to not make it like a public thing for you because you knew what you needed and what you needed to do. And respecting those boundaries for yourself, I think, is absolutely huge and like a straight up props to you for being able to know what you
listen need. Boundaries change and fluctuate. Like it could be in 3 months from now I'm gonna say I need to shut this down a little more on socials. I don't know. Or maybe I want to open up more. I don't even know where I'm going with it, but I know that I won't post something out of pressure. I won't start venting out of pressure because everyone else is having a rant. I just feel like when you see someone or you hear about someone or you meet someone and you hear about things that they've been through, life circumstances that were thrown at them, the first reaction of, oh, wow, you're so strong is not necessarily a comforting thing for them to hear. And it's not necessarily accurate either. It's you experience things and they might be super, super hard. And you then have to put in the work to be strong enough to handle it. You weren't born strong enough for these things to happen to you. Nobody is born prepared for someone to die or for someone to get sick or to experience something horrifying. That's not how we're made. We're made to work on ourselves to get to the point where we can look back and say, wow, I took that and I moved forward with my life and I didn't get stuck and drown.
Right. Life gave you lemons and you made a lemon scented hair oil.
Yeah. And then you just sprayed it around for fun.
That's amazing. Okay. So if people want to see more of you, hear more of you. Okay. Can you hold on 1 minute? Okay. So Panina, if people want to hear more of you, see more of you, being just unapologetically yourself, where can they find you?
So you can find me on Instagram, Hair by Pen. That is my main platform. And you can find me on TikTok, I guess, Panina95. But Instagram is my main platform. I story a lot. So
yes, and I definitely enjoy it. So thanks so much again. And
thank you for having me. My first podcast.
Mazel tov.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
Hope you enjoyed this week's episode of the Woman of Valor podcast. Make sure to subscribe at thewvlife.com as well as on your favorite podcast listening app. Follow us on Instagram at Woman of Valor Podcast.